CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to CBS The Sky. Today we have cooking teacher and web host of CookUsInterruptUs.com, Cynthia Lair on Fire It Up with CJ. Get more shows like this at FireItUpWithCJ.com. I'm Cassandra, live from CBS Sky, and here's CJ.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. So I'm really excited. I just watched like Water for Chocolates yesterday because a friend said, oh, you're having Cynthia Lair on? You should actually watch this movie. And it was all about cooking with love and making cooking almost like a meditation. And as someone who has had, I would say, a very mixed relationship with food, I kind of view food as, for a very long time, as just something that I had to do to move around, like a, kind of like a factory animal. And I kind of cooked in that same way. And now as a mom, I actually have to cook, I want to cook nutritious meals for my kids. So I've had to rethink about cooking. And what I loved about Cynthia, who I met from doing my TED Talk, was that she really has offered a whole new way of eating and cooking, and she's here to talk to us about it. So, welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Concept of making cooking into a meditation, but can you give us an example of how, like, in practice, we would take a meal and cook it in this kind of meditative, loving way?
Well, sure. I mean, it sounds like I, you know, run around the kitchen in flowing robes and burning incense or something, and I'm really a very normal, practical sort of person. But the idea that if we can connect up our, you know, these really simple daily activities, sort of like you were talking before about while you're traveling, how you can meditate in those times when you're waiting. If we can take the simple things that we do every day and just do them with more intention and more consciousness, then they actually register as something that we did. Otherwise, we're just always living in the future and the past. And when you're talking about food, you know, the process of consciousness really starts when you make your list for the grocery store. I mean, Do you just put the same old thing on there that you always put on there? How much of what you're choosing to put on there is actually fresh and, or local or whole or organic? And, or are you just going there and kind of blindly choosing things? And then when you get to the grocery store, are you in the present moment? Are you conscious? Are you having some kind of dialogue with the food? Are you picking exactly the orange or the apple that you want, or are you just kind of grab and go? Are you reading the list of ingredients, or do you just trust because it says on the front it's heart healthy that everything in there is something good for you? So the process of eating starts really in the imagination when you decide, oh, I think I'll make this.
Okay, so how do you talk to your food? So how do you pick an orange? What's the dialogue?
Well, I think, you know, when you're at the grocery store, you kind of, you know, you have your list and you have the things that you want to make, but you also want to see who catches your eye. It's like, what food is sort of like you know, you turn your head or you look and you go, wow, that looks really good, and that's the one that you want to be putting in your cart. And once you kind of tune into that intuition, you can actually start to shop and buy things that your body needs without, you know, calculating how many milligrams of something that it might have. You're just attracted to colors and shapes and things that and let me give you an example of that. An example might be that I do eat animal products. And I'm not a vegetarian or vegan, although I have much appreciation for them. And I don't eat a great deal of them, but I do occasionally. And about once every 2 months or something, I'll find myself just like staring at a piece of red meat. And that's not something that I normally do. But that's a clue to me. It's like, oh, there must be something in that that I'm needing right now. I'm going to go ahead and pick that up and put that in my cart. And so having that kind of tuning in to what you are, you know, using your eyes and your, just your feeling rather than just going by the list is the beginning of that consciousness.
Okay, then how about the next step? You're taking, let's say we get something simple like stir fry, and we're cutting our meat and we're cutting our vegetables, because I completely agree, and I love the idea of it starting from the minute you're buying stuff.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that we that really helps with cooking is to create a kind of ritual, so that when you come into the kitchen and you're going to cook, and I don't mean that you're like, again, you're not like praying necessarily, or I'm just talking about kind of setting the stage for cooking a meal. So maybe your ritual is that you put on an apron, or maybe for some people they like to kind of clean the kitchen up or tidy it up so that it's like a blank canvas for an artist. And then remind yourself, oh, I'm in the kitchen, I'm going to make food for my body, and just try to come into the present moment. Take a breath and go, ah, okay, I don't have to worry about anything else right now. Right now I'm just gonna make this stir fry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think this sounds kind of hoity-toity maybe or something, but I think the idea of creating a mise en place is very underrated. And what I mean by mise en place is you get all of your ingredients out and you actually chop them and put them in little piles or in little bowls or something, so that when you start to heat your pot or heat up the wok if you're making a stir fry, everything is there and ready to go. And what this does is, on a practical level, believe it or not, it really saves a lot of time. But it creates this kind of visual peacefulness to the chore, to the procedure, and because everything's sort of there and organized, and you can really enjoy it and enjoy the sensual aspect of it when everything's laid out and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And are you loving while you're cutting? Or I mean, what are you being conscious of the smells and the? I mean, what are you, is there any special things that you've noticed that you're conscious of when you're prepping food?
Well, it'd be so wonderful if I could tell you that every time I touch, you know, a green pepper, I'm in love with it. But I would kind of be lying. I mean, I'm not that holy. But I do try to let the food remind me that I'm in the present moment. So if I do grab a carrot and I'm getting ready to cut it, maybe I'll just take that hair, that tiny second, and look at the carrot and go, wow, look, it's kind of short, or it's kind of fat, or wow, this one's really orange. Or maybe I'll cut off a slice before I prepare it and just taste it and go, wow, this one is not that sweet, or maybe it's too late in the season, so that you're just noticing what you're doing. And those things are what bring you into the present moment. And whenever you're in the present moment, the food just naturally turns out better because you're paying attention to it. And it's not necessarily that you have to love it. You just have to be present with it. It's sort of like a child. You know, of course, we all love our children. But it's not like every second of every day you're going, I love you, I love you, I love you. But you are, you know, the moments when you are present and looking the child in the eye and going, I'm just here for you. That to me is love. And the same thing can be with your food. You know, oh, okay, I'm not going to worry about the fact that I got to prepare my taxes or whatever. Right now, all I'm going to do is make this stir fry,
mm-hmm.
and it can be really relaxing.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about your show, and I was preparing food, and I thought, all right, I'm going to just prepare this soup. It was one of those Mexican wedding soups, and I was
pulling, yeah.
And I rolled chopping, and but I kept on saying, I'm just putting love into everything, and I'm chopping, and I'm thinking about love, and I'm just thinking. I just kept my mind love, love, love. I kept on saying love, love, love in my head. And I cut it up, and this last time I made the soup, they weren't so thrilled with it, but I said, what do you think this time? And they said, you know, it does taste better, and we don't even know why. And I think that, like you're saying, because I was present while I was doing it, it made a difference.
Right.
It shocked. I think it would. I'm an experimenter, so I thought, well, let's see what happens. Is this true? If I do this with intention and presence, will the food taste differently? And it did. It's kind of shocking.
It does. It never fails me, you know. And like I say, you know, I'm a person that I come home too, and I'm like, I can't deal with this. I'm just going to try to throw this soup together, and I do just sort of throw it together, and it's okay. But it's not one of the, you know, that night, that soup is not the one where I go, good grief, this tastes so good. The one where I go, good grief, this tastes so good is the one where I went, huh, I'm just going to enjoy cooking this food. I'm not going to think about other things. I'm just going to simplify my life right now and just cut up this onion and cut up this celery and make this soup.
Lovely. I think everything, like someone was saying to me, everything in life is a meditation. It's always, you always have invitations to go back into the present and focus on the present moment. And I think cooking is no different. So we have Cynthia Lair here, web host of CookUsInterruptus.com.
Yes. Which is kind of the antithesis.
The antithesis?
Well, in Cook Us Interrupt Us, it's kind of like a sitcom, and I'm always interrupted while I'm cooking.
Oh, is that why your husband walked in? I'm like, oh, there's your husband interrupting her while she's cooking.
Yes. The husband, the daughter, the father-in-law, we have a big cast of characters, and it's a family, and they are constantly coming in with their problems.
I love it. All right. Well, we'll be right back, and we'll be talking about that show and more when we come back.